This is a Cattle Cast Extra.
From their humble beginnings in Cuba, Emilio and Gloria Estefan came to America and broke through all barriers to become a crossover sensation at the very top of the pop music world. On Your Feet takes you behind the music and inside the real story. Joining me now on CattleCast are Christine Prades and Mauricio Martinez, who play the record-making couple in the hit musical. Welcome to CattleCast.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So first, please tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I am actually originally from Miami, Florida. I'm Cuban-American, both my parents Cuban immigrants. I grew up there and was always singing and dancing and auditioning and recording music. And then I moved to New York about 4 years ago with a dollar and a dream kind of mindset. And actually was lucky enough to be a part and book On Your Feet on Broadway. Was there for about a year. Was the first cover of Gloria, and then I was also a swing, so I covered about 7 other tracks on the show. And then I was asked by Gloria herself to lead the tour. So here I am, about 4 months in.
Now, did I hear that you went to the same college as Emilio?
Yes, I did, actually. Okay. Miami-Dade College. I went to the Honors College there, and I remember actually seeing his face on one of the school buses.
Oh, wow.
That's actually, you know, they'll put, like, any successful individual who's been at the school, and I remember seeing that, and he was an MDC graduate, so I was just like, I don't know why I remember that, and then once I joined the show, I was like, I remember seeing that. So he actually graduated from here, so that's pretty awesome.
Wow. And Mauricio, what about you?
I'm from Mexico, originally from Mexico, from Monterrey, Mexico. Being imported to the U.S. like tequila and jalapeño and guacamole.
Delicious things.
And this is my first, well, actually, it's my second. My American theater debut, playing Che in Evita a year and a half ago. And that's what started everything. Casting director discovered me there and emailed my Mexican management and asked if I were interested to audition to play Emilio Estefan. I didn't even know there was a show about the Estefans. I was in Mexico doing my thing, doing my albums and telenovelas and film and TV, lots of musicals. And yeah, I basically had my career there. I did study in New York 20 years ago. I'm a proud AMDA alumni, which is the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in Manhattan. I lived there for 3 years. And just life took me back to Mexico, but New York and I had a love affair, and we had something pending. And it was this beautiful gift that was my Broadway debut that I did last summer, starring as Emilio Estefan on Broadway.
Yeah.
And then after that, they offered me the tour.
Now, growing up, were either of you fans of, like, even Miami Sound Machine?
My goodness, I grew up, and I remember my mom taking out the Blue Gloria's Greatest Hits CD.
Yes.
And she would play it almost every single, I can't remember a day that I wasn't at least hearing one of those songs, and I would listen to her all the time, and we looked up to her, and my mom was always like, you know, if you want to look up to anyone, this is a woman who is representing us and representing our Cuban culture and representing the possibility of doing whatever it is that you want to do, and she's broken all the barriers. So she was definitely an inspiration for me and for my whole family growing up. And I mean, we're from Miami, she's from Miami, so it was definitely the anthem of our city as well. She was taking our city and our culture all over the world, so I definitely looked up to her ever since I was a young girl.
And I remember growing up, I'm a child of the 80s, so MTV was like everything,
right.
And I grew up with both cultures. Being from Monterrey, Mexico, it's a very Americanized city, so I grew up with both MTV and all the American musicals and movies, and also the Spanish soap opera, telenovelas, and mariachi, and like Mexican pop, you know? So there was this woman that I would see on television that my mom had her albums in Spanish, and all of a sudden I would see her also in MTV or VH1 singing the exact same song in English. And I used to sing Don't Want to Lose You Now, which is my favorite Gloria Estefan song of all time, that now I get to sing on stage. I knew it in Spanish because of my mom. But then I would see her on television in English. And I didn't get it at first. I was like, wow, somebody lives like me. Because I grew up with both languages. And being that young, I never really got it until later. After that, of course, John Secada and Ricky Martin and Shakira, Thalia, every single one of them, those artists, then I found out that they were influenced and supported by the Estefan. So, yes, I grew up being a fan, not only of Gloria and the Miami Sound Machine, but of what they did to the music, to the Latin music, crossing over. You know, it's right. It's very inspiring to as a Latino.
Mm-hmm. Christy, can you describe the first time that you met Gloria?
Oh my gosh. The first time I met her was actually in my final audition. So I actually walked in. There were a couple of callbacks, and I actually auditioned to be part of the ensemble, which is one of the dancers. And then once they heard me sing, Jerry Mitchell gave me the pack, and he was like, you need to come in and sing for the whole team. So I walked into that audition room, and I saw her and Emilio sitting there along with Jerry Mitchell, which is a Broadway legend as far as direction. You know, Sergio Trujillo, Broadway legend as far as choreography. Mm-hmm. And we had all of our producers and our stage managers, but I walked in and I saw them. And I remember just shaking their hands and just being like, I need to remember I have so much to offer, because seeing them, I just questioned everything about me for a second, because you're taken aback a little bit. And I was in a way shocked to finally meet this woman right in front of me that I've looked up to, and Emilio as well, because I always saw him everywhere.
Right.
So I bowed down to both of them in the beginning, which made everybody laugh. I was like, okay, good, I'm funny. And then I just started singing, and I was totally myself, but I felt connected, and it was a beautiful experience to meet them there.
Oh, I bet. Well, and then I heard you tell the story of when you were selected. Was that live right on stage
yes,
when that happened?
That was post-performance. So we had finished a whole medley of the show, and they walked on, and we had all the news stations there, which, again, I thought was, you know, to promote the tour. They're going to announce it officially in Miami in the Arch Center, our home theater. And, my family was there. Everybody was there. And then she just announces it, and I'm just like, there was more to this, and I had no idea, and how dare you put me on this spot. But it was, it was wonderful and so unexpected and classic.
Wow.
Classic for me. I'll always remember it, and I have it recorded, and I'll never forget that feeling.
Great memories, for sure.
Yes.
Well, Mauricio, while millions know and love Gloria's voice and music, share with our audience how important Emilio was in her success.
Well, he's very important, because not only was he the leader of the group, the Miami Latin Boys, which was the first group that he actually had to change the name, because he was just blown away by Gloria's talent, that he then had to rename it Miami Sound Machine, and Gloria became the front singer. And he became the manager, and then he became her manager, and then they fell in love, and then they got married, and then they had a kid, and then they conquered the music world. So I cannot think of one without the other.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
To this day, you see them and you think immediately. I mean, she has his last name. They're one. I see them as one. That's how important Emilio is to Gloria, and Gloria to Emilio.
Yeah, there's no Gloria, you know, without Emilio. There's no Emilio without Gloria.
And you see that to this day. Their dynamic, how they live their lives, how they go to events together, how they come here and take care of the show. How
they do business.
Yeah, everything. They're really, really, really together and in love. And that's how I see. And he's definitely very, very important in the story of her life. She's said it publicly. If it weren't for him, she wouldn't have made everything that she did. You know, she wouldn't be probably as big, because he was the business man. He pushed
her to her limits.
Yeah,
he pushed her to break the barriers of like her uncle, because she didn't want to. Because she didn't want to be all that.
Right.
She wasn't ready to be all that. She was very shy. She kept her music very private. And he was the one who constantly pushed her beyond her limits, beyond what she thought that she could do, until the very end, even until the end. It was he was the confidence within her,
gave
that
her
he
strength.
Was like, you can do this. And he pushed her into, that's how I feel like I'm doing the show. I'm always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She's always uncomfortable. And he's literally there.
And he's
to be
always
like,
driving.
Yeah,
no,
and
yeah.
he's like, you're good. You're
good. You're good.
You can do this.
There's a beautiful scene in the first act where it just defines the relationship and defines the personalities, where Gloria's sitting down very shy as a young girl playing the piano, singing Anything for You, And there's a room, which is the Emilio's garage, where they're all kids still playing. You know, they're not even famous. They don't even have a recording contract. And the abuela's there.
They don't know
the
what
mother.
They're doing.
And
right?
She starts playing, and he stands up. And the rest of the cast, which the people in that room, disappear. And you're left alone. Emilio's standing, just watching this beautiful girl, talented girl, sing. And his mind, he literally goes around her. And it's almost as like he has this, he knows.
He's plotting.
That he has found a diamond. Hmm. A diamond in his life that matches his passion, you know?
Yeah.
So that's when you see the essence of Emilio and Gloria. That's, for me at least, that's when I see, you right. know, like he found his gem. Hmm.
So you've kind of already done this, but how would you describe this musical? I mean, the laughter and love and all of that mixed in, but there's a lot to this.
Yes, it's very high energy. I mean, we have not heard one person who's seen the show who's not like, it is a lot that you guys do on stage, and I don't know where we find it within us, but it's definitely high energy. But it's also, I think people don't, it's a beautiful surprise because they don't realize that there's a real story within this. There's real conflict, real human conflict. You know, other musicals, you know, it's all fantasy and it's all a made-up story, but this is conflict within family, conflict within business, conflict within obstacles when you're trying to face your dreams, conflict within injury, within wondering if you're even going to make it out alive kind of thing. So people are definitely surprised when they see the roller coaster of emotion that comes with this story. And not only that, but I feel like this story also helps the audience realize, you know, there's a theater etiquette, right? So we come to a show and we're expecting, you know, everybody's polite and everybody waits until the song finishes to sing. You know, there's an right. etiquette that we feel. And what's funny with us is that we get to show them, you know, we break that fourth wall sometimes within this story. So we're literally pulling them out of that etiquette for a few moments, which is a really, really great, at least for me. I love this transition where I'm like, you can look at me. I'm looking right at you. And I know you're freaking out right now because, you know, it's supposed to be a theater where you guys aren't supposed to be there, but it kind of helps them, you know, we get them to be part of the story. You can stand up, you can hang out with us, you can feel the music, you can dance. Like, we're giving them permission to really be about communicating with us while mm-hmm. we break that barrier. Mm-hmm. So I think that this show has a lot more to offer than just, you know, people thinking it's going to be like a jukebox musical.
Right.
It's definitely way, way more than that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Very neat. Well, for those who haven't purchased tickets yet, obviously it's not too late, but could you just give us just a little sample, just a few bars of what they might hear at this show?
Oh my goodness.
I haven't even, me, like warmed up.
Here we are that we did together.
So then we go, there's nothing.
There's nothing I can do. I'm helpless in your arms. Oh, baby, what you do? I'm in love and this is it. There's no turning back this time. No, no, no. Here we are, all alone. Trembling hearts, beating strong. Reaching out, reckless kiss. I never thought could feel like this.
All right. For in the morning, that's not bad.
It's just great.
Well, that was cute. That's the first time we've ever done that, you know, for a podcast.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
Very
or even a cappella without
yeah,
mics,
like,
and without
boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay.
Yeah. Bold adventure there, right?
We're falling in love here.
Well, Christy and Mauricio, thank you so much, and the success of this Broadway musical, On Your Feet, it's at Wharton Center right now. Runs through February 18th. You can visit their website for ticket information. But thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you guys for having us. We appreciate
Michigan.
It.
We're bringing the Latin heat.
Let's
to the
go.
Cold
let's
city.
Go. Make it happen.